Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 217, the four stanzas. Remember not, O God, the sins of long ago. In tender mercy visit us, distressed and humbled low. And what follows, Psalter 217, the four stanzas. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Matthew 16, the verses 13 through 28. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Matthew 16, beginning with the 13th verse. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged he his disciples that they shall tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." But he turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for a soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Let us try to ask the Lord for his blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, it is by renewal on this holy day of rest that we as a people, as a congregation, attempt to draw nigh unto thee with our blessings, with our needs, with our desires, with our trials, and with our sins. Then it is each time so necessary that we may receive profound impressions unto whom we draw nigh. Majestic, glorious, high and lifted up, of purer eyes than to behold evil, and that thou canst not look on iniquity. Also with a profound impression of our sinnership, unworthy, undeserved, forfeited from our side. And Lord, that is something that we cannot give to ourselves. We can speak about it. Not a matter which we can give to our fellow man, but that is thy work. Ah, wilt thou grant it, that we may be given to bow with adoration at thy footstool, a very low place, that thou may receive thy rightful place, and that the luster of thy glory may shine forth. Lord, the earth may still stand. A world where there is so much sin, so much wickedness, so much forsaking of thee. And may there have come up a few souls with an impression of their sinnership, unworthy, but yet with a sigh and cry, that thou may show mercy, a token of thy favor, to hear thy voice, to feel thy embrace. 'Tis the purpose that the world may still stand, because there are still those lying under the seal of election that must and shall be brought forth. Thou hast promised in thy holy word that thy word shall not return void unto thee. And to that end, may thou, as king of thy church, ride upon that white horse of victory, upon the apparel of thy holy word, and that thou might place arrows prepared from eternity, also the time determined, and may it in this service be the time that those arrows are shot into the hearts of the king's enemies, that they may be given to bow, and what the king of all to declare, I am wounded, carry me out, and not to be healed, till they may come to a saving knowledge of thy dear Son. Lord, thou hast promised to work from generation to generation. Wilt thou so work in the hearts of our little children, in the hearts of our young people, in the hearts of the middle-aged, younger and older, and also in the hearts of our elderly. And where thou hast begun that work, wilt thou grant those further leadings, may they not be given to rest, where thou hast found rest, and that is in the perfect sacrifice of thy dear Son, in whom thou art well pleased. Bless, O thy word in the church. Help the consistory to that end. Grant many errands and hers. Bless the means of grace in the family circles. We commend thy church unto thee over the length and the breadth of the earth. Thou hast granted in the past week that our classes could meet together. Thou hast helped the candidate. The way has been opened that in due time, that he may be ordained to that holy office of the ministry of word and of the sacraments. Wilt thou remember him together with his wife, bring him safely to this country, and that the prayers may be multiplied. We commend unto thee the persecuted church. Remember the Jewish nation, the Jewish people. Remember mission fields, also our mission field. Remember thy servants and the team. And remember the father and mother who have commenced their language studies, Lord. Wilt thou help them? May they experience thy special help and be humbled thereunder. Remember all Bible translators and those that bring thy word to the end of the earth. We commend unto thee all the outward needs. They are manifold. Wilt thou remember man and beast in the heat of the summer? May it please thee to bless and remember the thirsty earth. Teaches more and more how dependent we are upon thee. We remember that little infant child in the hospital who has went along surgery hitherto. Thou hast made it remarkably well. Wilt thou continue to spread thy gracious wings over him, grant further healing and strengthening, and that in due time he may return home. Wilt thou uphold that young father and mother in these trying ways, and may this calling be used for the saving of souls. a mother who was scheduled for knee surgery, and the day of tomorrow, wilt thou go with her, guide the hand of the physicians. May the means be blessed, and also that this calling may be used for the saving of souls. Then we commend unto thee all those, there are many, that stand in need of healing, of strengthening, and also of courage, whether pain. Ah, Lord, grant a special place at thy footstool, where they may tell thee all, and that thou may be mindful of them. Then thou wert speaking in special ways. Ah, may these callings, may they be used, accompanied by the work of thy Holy Spirit, to be given to seek and find that one thing needful. Oh, to be given to beg for our sin-sick soul needs to be washed in the precious blood of thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We remember all the mourning ones, widowers, widows, orphans, those that have brought children to the cemetery and other dear ones. Wilt thou continue to uphold and to comfort them, and out of that mourning, that another mourning may be born, and that is a mourning of that missing of thee on account of our sins and a need to be saved. Wilt thou remember all the elderly ones, our Bethesda, the residents, those that care for them, those that may still go in and out. Remember the handicapped ones. Remember the crosses and the burdens. Bless the family circles. May love abound when it is waxing cold. May there be a returning to thy word, a bowing of the knees. What has been separated, wilt thou grant healing and bring together what belongs together, O Lord. In these dark times where thy judgments are hanging so low over this earth, and who perceives it, and who is troubled therewith, and who is exercised therewith, but may we and our children be given to hasten for our life's sake. We remember our poor country. Remember our leaders federally, provincially, also of the cities, of the towns. Wilt thou also pour out thy spirit upon our community? Lord, we humbly beg thee by renewal for the opening of thy word, the anointing of thy Holy Spirit. Send help from the sanctuary and strengthen out of Zion. And may thy word go forth with power divine. Ah, go from bench to bench, from heart to heart. Those lawfully hindered, when they listen along, do visit the dwellings also. And may it be a good evening. What an impression. May that more be experienced. That centurion of old, not worthy that thou would come under our roof, but yet a great and desperate need. Ah, Lord, to whom else shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Gladden then with thy presence, with thy favor, and with thy deeds. May the outgoing of this service be for the coming of thy kingdom, and the glory of thy name, pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 428, the stanzas 4, 5, and 6. Thy precepts have I hid within my heart, lest I should stray and fall into transgression. O teach thou me, and unto me impart thy statutes for a permanent possession, and what follows. Psalter 428, the stanzas 4, 5, and 6. Thank you. in this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 24, the question and answer 62 through 64. Question 62, but why cannot our good works be the whole or part of our righteousness before God? Answer, because that the righteousness which can be approved of before the tribunal of God must be absolutely perfect and in all respects conformable to the divine law, and also that our best works in this life are all imperfect and defiled with sin. Question 63, what do not our good works merit, which yet God will reward in this and in a future life? Answer, this reward is not of merit, but of grace. Question 64, but doth not this doctrine make men careless and profane? Answer, by no means, for it is impossible that those who are implanted into Christ by a true faith should not bring forth fruits of thankfulness. Lord's Day number 24 speaks of justification and good works. With three thoughts, in the first place, a total exclusion. Secondly, a gracious rewarding. And thirdly, evangelical fruits. Justification and good works. A total exclusion, a gracious rewarding, and evangelical fruits. Beloved congregation, this Lord's Day that speaks of different questions concerning the justification of a sinner. Then already in the last Lord's Day, there was a question concerning justification and the part of faith. And that is also a question that is prevalent, very prevalent in our day, where there are many that make faith a duty, and it is our duty. It is commanded by the King of the Church to believe, also to repent. It's not mentioned so much anymore. The focus is mostly on believing. That is the command of the King. And that command comes to each and every one of us. But no place in God's Word is it written that a dead sinner can believe. To that end, the necessity of the work of the Holy Spirit. And now concerning the doctrine of the justification of a sinner, if you read the documents, even of the Council of Trent, that is gathered from 1545 to 1563, where with the Reformation they were forced to consider what the church really stood for. And if you read their document concerning justification, then perhaps you would say there is not so much amiss. If you read the writings of the Remonstrants, then also perhaps concerning some of their writings, then you would say, but they are quite reformed. They are not so different from us. To make it clear concerning the last question of Lord's Day 23, concerning the part of faith, there are many places in our day where the unconditional promises of the covenant of grace, which have its foundation in the electing love of the Father, the redeeming love of the Son, and the application of the Holy Spirit, that they are presented to all members of the church, we would say, offer to all the church members. Then it is necessary that we distinguish in the scripture conditional promises and unconditional promises. The conditional promises, they come to all of us. We could mention, let us mention 1 Samuel 2 verse 30. Those that honor me, I will honor. But those that despise me, they shall be lightly esteemed. That is a promise with a condition. When we think of King Solomon, after he has dedicated the temple and such a fitting prayer, then the Lord has come over the second time to Solomon and has promised to him, if he would walk in the institutions of the Lord as his father David, that his kingdom would be established. But if he departed from those institutions, that the heavy judgments of the Lord would come upon the kingdom. The prophet Jeremiah has said to Judah that if they would seek the Lord with their whole heart, that he would be found of them. And in Proverbs 7, 8 verse 17, those that seek me early, they shall find me. They are conditional promises that come to a people under the external administration of the covenant of grace. But those promises of the covenant of grace, those unconditional promises, I, the Lord, will work, and who shall let it? Those promises with those covenant wills and shells that can never be broken, and that depend not upon the feeble will of men, but that the Lord, by his almighty power and grace, that he shall fulfill, they are for the people of God. But now there are many places where those unconditional promises for the elect, that they are presented and that they are offered to the members in the church. And what is the consequence thereof? That in the first place, that the death state of man is spoken very little of or even denied. And in the second place, that the work of the Holy Spirit is minimized. Thus, congregation, that has been the struggle also in the time of the Reformation. The point is, where does the salvation of man now originate? Oh, it is true Many shall speak of the sovereign good pleasure of the Lord. They shall speak of eternity, but then they shall tell their members that it is the feeble will of men that is actually the cause that they are saved. There is a Christendom that speak of faith, and they have such a large faith. But now the Lord has a people upon the earth that learn more and more that it comes all from above this congregation. What we are speaking about is a three-covenant theology, that there are those who separate the covenant of redemption, that is that covenant made between the Father and the Son, representing all his elect, and that covenant of grace, which they explain this way, that it is a covenant between the Father and between those under the external administration of the covenant, to make it even simpler, that even our boys, and we say it with reverence, that they actually present it so that the Lord, he gives to people in the church a check that is filled in the complete remission of sins and a right to eternal life. And then it is the feeble will of men that they are given to sign that check and give it to the Lord, and all is well. And not to misunderstand, Christ crucified needs to be preached in his fullness and in his riches. That for poor, for hell-worthy sinners, that there is no sinner too black, no sinner too vile, no sinner too cold, no sinner too old, but that the sacrifice of Christ is so sufficient. What needs to be declared the way the Lord has a people upon the earth. They know they have to believe, but they learn that they cannot believe. The necessity of the immediate working of the Holy Spirit to make it clear yet for our boys and girls, children, if your mother now made some delicious meals and put them in the basket, and then she said, child, boy, girl, now you must go to the cemetery, and then you must take that basket and offer to that people in the grave. Then you'll say, mother, but they are dead. They have no appetite. On the day of Pentecost, what have we spoken about, congregation? Can you remember? Ezekiel 37, that valley of dead and dry bones. But now to continue, then this Lord's Day speaks of a total exclusion, and this Lord's Day separates between the precious and the vile. But why? Cannot our good works be the whole or part of our righteousness before God? Has that ever become your question, congregation? Are you exercised with that righteousness? And have you tried to satisfy that righteousness? That is a crucial point. When that takes place, then there shall not be so much world conformity. Profound impression of the holiness, the perfect righteousness of God. And that righteousness needs to be satisfied. That separates the precious from the vile. We have read together out of Matthew 16 of the disciples. And then Christ has asked them, but who do you say that I am? and then Peter as spokesman, but thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And those disciples have experienced much, and yet that enmity against free and sovereign grace, we have heard it also in the life of Peter. And it is so necessary that that enmity may be subdued, that enmity can be disguised, that later a child of God is given to reflect and see that it was all enmity. But there are also times that that enmity of the heart, such a bitterness, does not go outside of man, that it becomes a wonder that the Lord does not wipe such a one from off the face of the earth into hell. And that enmity focuses especially on two matters. In the first place, the sovereignty of God, and in the second place, upon free and sovereign grace through a crucified mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I read in Romans 4 verse 5 concerning the justification of the sinner, that it is an ungodly one. And now the disciples, oh, also Judas, he has experienced much. In congregation we can experience much, and yet not the saving work of the Lord. Because of Judas, it cannot be different, that he has experienced a joy, a delight in serving the Lord. So there can be a delight in religion, can have delight in many things, can also be in religion, satisfaction in searching God's word. We can have convictions, sit with delight in God's house, emotions, feelings, and with the disciples, with a confession concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, that it can be all amiss, all for Peter, of course, and the 11 disciples, the Lord has begun that good work. But now concerning our question, whether our good works can be the whole or even part of our righteousness before God, then Peter has been further uncovered, also with Judas. Came at the end of his life that enmity against Christ, who would be crucified, that he has went to the leaders for 30 pieces of money, has betrayed his master with a kiss, and the end, he has taken his life. But now with Peter, what a work the Spirit has to uncover deeper and deeper. Because with that confession of Peter, and Christ has spoken blessed words, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. But now for Peter, concerning this question, then it was very clear in his life that he was still trusting on his good works with everything that he has experienced, what he has done and not done, that he would be saved. And then also in this chapter, then the bitter enmity of Peter against free and sovereign grace, not to approve of everything that he has done, his good works, and that more was necessary. And then Christ, all what separates the precious from the vile. Because then Christ has begun to tell the disciples that he must suffer and die. And what was the reaction of Peter? That shows how that Peter was still with everything that he has learned under the prophetical ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he was still, maybe he would not say it to Reformed, but that secretly, inwardly, that because all his good works, everything he has done, that the Lord was obligated to save him, if the Lord would let him go lost, then what an enmity there would be. And that is very clear in this chapter. Because when Christ has spoken that he needed to suffer and die, then Peter has rebuked, he has scolded his master. He said, it shall never be. And then Jesus has spoken those words. Then he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Is that too hard a doctrine, congregation? It is declared in this chapter that Peter, with all his love and zeal, to lose everything, to put a zero over everything that we do, and to be lost, not as an improved sinner, and not as a self-righteous sinner, but as an ungodly one. The way is narrow, congregation, and the Lord has a people that desires to be saved as the Lord saveth all his people, and they need to be taught. But now the question, how is it now with that righteousness of God? Have we become exercised therewith? Have we become burdened therewith? Have we wept because of it? Have we received the hope that it would become better? Or can we just live from week to week, from Sabbath day to Sabbath day, living as if there is no God who is so holy and righteous, thinking that we continue to sin, and not thinking of the day of reckoning? The Lord has a people, with everything they have experienced, that are so busy with that righteousness, and that have tried so hard, they would do anything. Right, souls? What shall an uncovered sinner not willing to do, that he may be reconciled with that God who he has learned to love and to follow? And now the instructors, then they ask, but why cannot our good works be the whole? That the sinner learns at the beginning by the uncovering work of the Holy Spirit. No, it cannot be the whole. They need more. Of course, in the beginning, they hope to improve themselves, become perfect. But in the beginning, the whole, and then with that further uncovering, that it cannot even be a part. Oh, Peter, he has learned it. Think of the hall of Caiaphas. When he is denied his master, even with an oath. But then Jesus, oh, he is turned to look at that Peter with such a sorrow and with such a love. Oh, then that Peter was given to learn if there was anything of Peter that had to be added to his salvation, it would be eternally lost. Are there souls that are busy with these things? How is it going? There's a blessing when it may be granted to do less sin and become a greater sinner, because it speaks of good works, our religious duties, our Bible reading, never a wandering thought, our prayers with a profound reverence, an eye upon God's glory, coming of his kingdom. Oh, also concerning this Lord's day, for such a sinner, not the Pharisee in the front of the temple, but that publican in the back, and he smote himself upon the breast, always learned much of his heart, the trouble of his heart. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Do we understand it, congregation? Are there sinners in my midst? Oh, that hoped to satisfy the righteousness of God, but a demanding justice and not a penny to pay, more hopeless. Ah, Jesus, he has come for such. Peter needed to be further uncovered to that enmity against free and sovereign grace. And then the instructors, they have answered, because that the righteousness which can be approved of before the tribunal of God, when the Lord works, then we are exercised with that tribunal. That tribunal is set up in our heart, and we are exercised with that tribunal. We come oftentimes there as a beggar. And then the instructor, that the righteousness which can be approved of before the tribunal of God must be absolutely perfect. That tells us that we can never save ourselves. And further, and in all respects conformable to the divine law, our motives, our performance, and the end, whatsoever thou doest, do it all to the glory of God. And also, that our best works in this life are all imperfect and defiled with sin. What a blow to the self-righteous Pharisee. But for such a people, oh, that rich preaching of a Savior who has kept that law perfectly and who was given himself, taken all the sins of his people upon him, that people may be set free. Are there souls that are laboring with their sins and with their righteousnesses and with God's righteousness? Oh, then in this Lord's Day, it is declared, that is the teaching of the Spirit from our side. Oh, it is proclaimed, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross of Christ I cling. And then we could add to it our original sin and all the sins of the past. Tis a doctrine that humbles man to the lowest, and in this way then God is glorified to the highest and his free and sovereign grace. Our second thought, a gracious rewarding. Let us first sing. Psalter 355. The stanzas 1 and 2, and if necessary also the third. All who with heart confiding depend on God alone, like Zion's mount abiding, shall never be overthrown. And what follows? Psalter 355, 1 and 2, and if necessary, number 3. justification and good works, a total exclusion, a secondly, a gracious rewarding. And in this evening, we shall make our second point short. Then in question 63, one that is upset, what? Do not our good works merit our church going, our prayers, our forsaking of sin, our striving for the cause of the Lord? And it is one that comes with the Bible. Do not our good works reward, merit, which yet God will reward in this and in a future life. We read that word reward 9 times in the Sermon on the Mount and many other places. And then in this question, and then we hear the eldest son speaking. Oh, also that younger son, when he has said, when he thought to himself, I will return to my father and tell him that I am not worthy to be a son, make me as one of thy servants. Then we still sense that work holiness. He still want to work to earn that favor. But that the father wanted nothing to do with those words. He has embraced them, kissed them. The fatted calf was slain. But now that eldest servant, he has labored faithfully, and he says, Father, has not even slain the fatted calf. Thus, in this question, we do not read the question of a child, because children, they help their parents, not for payment. It's true. Sometime when they do their best, then father and mother speak to one another. Let us buy something special for our children. They have been diligent in the summer holidays. I hope you are, boys and girls, that you do your best to help, to honor, and obey your father and mother. But here we have the question of a laboring servant. Then the question could be asked, is it now wrong to seek the Lord for a reward? Is it now wrong to seek the Lord that at the end we may have a place in heaven? What do you think, congregation? Oh, I would say, seek the Lord. Whatever the reason is, seek him while he may be found. But what do we find in the Bible of Moses? In Hebrews 11, the verses 25 and 26, then it is written of Moses rather suffering with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of Egypt for a season. For he had thoughts about the recompense, he considered the recompense of the reward. This congregation, young and old, seek him. And all the Lord teaches his people why they must seek him. Oh, that it is also especially for his honor and for his glory. When we think of Martin Luther, then he was so busy with that righteousness of God many times. He was given to tremble, and he has tried everything to satisfy that righteousness, but a sinner still, until the scriptures were opened, that there was an other righteousness. That is the righteousness of Christ. Out of Romans 1 verse 17, Calvin, he was given to focus more, how shall God receive the glory? Our last thought, evangelical fruits. Question 64. But doth not this doctrine make men careless and profane? That word careless means thoughtless, irresponsible. That word profane, ungodly, worldly, wicked, irreverent. Thus the question is, whether the doctrines of free and sovereign grace, that one-sided work of the Lord and the saving of sinners, whether that does not make a people under that truth careless and profane. What is your answer, congregation? What is your life? Are there those that must say in this evening, fathers and mothers with children, maybe there are children and young people in our midst that at times are very sad. What takes place in the family circle where father and mother are so careless and profane that sometimes they wish was they but in a family where God's word has a special place, that I would have a father and mother of whom I could truly be jealous of, where it is evident that father and mother believe what they hear in church and read in the Bible, that they are concerned about the Lord, about their soul, and about us. Does the doctrine, this doctrine, make men careless and profane? What is your answer, fathers and mothers? How is it? Have we become careless, excusing ourselves, saying the Lord must do it? Does not make such a difference whether we give so much heed to God's word, because if I am chosen, I will come there. If I am a reprobate, then I can live strictly according to God's word, read the scriptures, pray much, shall not avail. What is the answer, family circles? Does this doctrine make men careless and also profane, worldly, irreverent, very little impression that we live on this world as if there is no God and no eternity? It's nothing new under the sun. In the canons of Dort, when our fathers have struggled with error, then in the conclusion, then they have written what the reformers were accused of. And we shall read those accusations, that they have written. And when we read those accusations, then it is possible that there shall be quite a few that come to the conclusion that I am such an Arminian and a remonstrant, that the same thoughts that the remonstrants have presented before the reformers, that they live in my heart, and may it be with a prayer, Lord, may the light shine in the darkness, and that I may be given to bow. Listen what they have written. Then they were accused that the doctrine of the Reformed churches concerning predestination and the points annexed to it by its own genius and necessary tendency leads off the minds of men from all piety and religion, that it is an opiate administered by the flesh and the devil, and the stronghold of Satan, where he lies in wait for all, and from which he wounds multitudes, and mortally strikes through many, with the darts both of despair and security, that it makes God the author of sin, unjust, tyrannical, hypocritical, that it is nothing more than an interpolated, and then they have mentioned different heirs of that time, that it renders men carnally secure, since they are persuaded by it that nothing can hinder the salvation of the elect. Let them live as they please, and therefore that they may safely perpetrate every species of the most atrocious crimes, and that if the reprobate should even perform truly all the works of the saints, their obedience would not in the least contribute to their salvation, that the same doctrine teaches that God, by an arbitrary act of his will, without the least respect or view to any sin, has predestinated the greatest part of the world to eternal damnation, and has created them for this very purpose, that in the same manner in which the election is the fountain and the cause of faith and good works, reprobation is the cause of unbelief and impiety, that many children of the faithful are torn guiltless from their mother's breasts and tyrannically plunged into hell, so that neither baptism nor the prayers of the church at their baptism can at all profit by them. Are those thoughts strange to us, congregation? Have those thoughts many times risen in our heart? For the parents with older children, then you can read that whole conclusion. Then the Synod of Dort has earnestly admonished the enemies of the truth, but also call the servants to faithfully and simply explain the truths of God's word, all the truths of God's word. And now, concerning whether it makes people careless and profane, the answer is short: by no means, for it is impossible that those who are implanted into Christ by a true faith should not bring forth fruits of thankfulness. This congregation, when we have become careless and profane, that is not because of the truth, but it is because of the misuse of the truth, and that we use to excuse and justify ourselves and secretly put the blame on God. We are rational. We are responsible creatures. To that end, much prayer is needed, and may we be given to seek the living God and experience that enmity that lives within against a sovereign God and against that only sacrifice on the cross, that it may be subdued. And that, as I read in Romans 3 verse 19, that every mouth may be stopped and we become guilty before God. When that may take place, then it is not God that is at fault. Then it is not my neighbor, but then I become the sinner. And the necessity in the life of a child of God. Oh, Matthew 16, 12 disciples, then with everything they have experienced, not from the Lord's side, lie so firm. And that covenant of grace, the work of a triune God, but then from man's side, then it could still fall either way. All for a Judas has tasted much of the things of the Lord, preached the gospel, cast out devils, received much satisfaction. Oh, what solemn words in Hebrews 6. The verses 4 through 6. There are souls that have trouble with those verses, and therefore the necessity, the further leadings to be discovered to that proud man, the enmity, and that we are given to learn that it is not by our works in whole or in part, nothing can and shall be added. And now we have heard it, those fruits of thankfulness. Isaiah 43 verse 21, this people have I formed for myself, they shall show forth my praise. Ah, then for poor sinners, and the more, that they may learn their riches of that five-letter word, grace, then it cannot be different. Was Psalm 116, verse 12, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Zephaniah 3, verse 12, I have left in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. Amen. Let us close. Lord, may it please thee to teach us and our children by the work of thy Holy Spirit what we have heard out of our catechism based upon thy holy word, that nothing can, nothing need, and nothing shall be added
to the perfect sacrifice of thy dear Son, where he has cried out, "It is finished," and that concerns the meriting, but also the work of thy Spirit to grant the application, O Lord. Remember the unconverted. Remember the careless and profane. Grant them to return. But remember also the self-righteous. Convert them. Spare that we deceive not our poor souls. Grant the further leadings in the steps of grace. We may commence another week, O Lord. Remember the mothers in the home with the children at work on the way, wherever we were are called to be. Remember the little child in the hospital with his parents. Remember the mother that is scheduled for surgery in the day of tomorrow. Wilt thou keep us from sin and temptation? Keep us under thy kind care and thy protection. Be our guard and our guide. Bring us together in this week for a weekday service to be further instructed in the things of the Lord. May we not be found careless concerning the means of grace. Bring us now safely to our dwellings. Watch over us in this night. Ah, wilt thou grant souls exercised, and with the prayer for the coming of thy kingdom, the glory of thy name, forgive us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 325, the first three stanzas. Teach me, O Lord, thy way of truth, and from it I will not depart, that I may steadfastly obey. Give me an understanding heart, and what follows. Psalter 325, the first three stanzas.
receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.